Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I am your host. Let's get into it. Well, hello, hail, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good anything, good any time of day to you. Welcome back to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. It's good to see everybody back here today on this fine Thursday day, morning, afternoon, evening, again, wherever you are. Thank you for coming back and checking out what we got to ramble on about this week. As always, if you want to support this podcast, please check the Linktree link that is annotated in the show notes and description of this video. There's a lot of links. There's the Amazon wish list. There's the Patreon page. There are all the socials. There's the merchandise store through Spring. There's everything. Just go for a little perusing. Go meander about in the Linktree site and see what suits you there in ways that you can support this podcast, this channel. What we do here, it's greatly appreciated. Today's guest is somebody who has, come to find out, been watching this podcast for several years now. So that's really cool to know that, you know, we've retained some interest for more than just a little while. So, and we also featured this guest's question or topic of discussion on a previous episode. This is this person's request or topic is the reason why we talked about Loki again so recently here on the channel and on the podcast. So Morgan is going to be coming on here today to talk about her work through a business that she's, I guess we call it business, you know, project business. But A Druid's Luck is Morgan's brand, and they're going to be launching an Etsy store here soon. There's going to be all kinds of information for you to follow Morgan on her socials, and anything that's available at the time of this podcast being aired is going to be linked down in the description and show notes of this podcast as well. So do be sure to check that out. Follow along, support Morgan and what she does. But really fun episode today. This topic is one I think that we can all relate to. You know, this is a topic that we can all find some impact with. Talking about burnout. Dealing with burnout, not getting burnt out, or are we? Are we going to talk about not being burnt out, or are we just going to, you know, embrace the fact that burnout does happen, guys? Ladies and gentlemen, it does happen. You know, this isn't a thing that, I don't think this is really a thing that we can ultimately avoid. I mean, even in the things that we're most passionate about, sometimes we just get tired. And we don't want to do it. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to ramble on about it today, amongst other things, I'm sure, as the nature of the podcast goes. It's a rambling, and it's random at times. But there is some method to the madness. I know Morgan has been dwelling on this topic for a while now, since we set this up, you know, probably about a month or so ago. So there's definitely plenty of time for her and I to kind of think about the layout, not the platform, but the layout. But again, it's a random rambling, so we just kind of have a loose, it's kind of like that old thing in the Pirates of the Caribbean where Barbossa and Jack Sparrow are talking about the code, the pirate's code, you know, more like guidelines, really. This is more like a guideline, you know. These are some topics that we want to talk about: being burnt out, dealing with burnout, but there's other stuff that you're going to be exposed to here, not in a bad way. So please stick around for the whole episode. There's a lot of cool things that are going to be going on today, and definitely make sure that you're following Morgan on all her socials for supporting what she does with the Druid's Luck, and stay tuned for more information to come on that as the Etsy store is launched. Another thing, just bear in mind as we get some of the housekeeping stuff out of the way, there is an event coming up here in just a week or two, actually, not this coming 4th of July weekend, but the one, after that, this the 8th on 8th of July. It's going to be a day of fun with Fleur de Folk, a tribe that I am tied to in a way. So my tribe, Fleur de Folk, is going to be having a day of fun at the Fate Sanders Recreational Area in Smyrna, Tennessee. Details for that are linked in the description and show notes of this podcast as well. But we're going to be there all day. So we got some canopies that we're going to be setting up by the lake. It is the summertime and it is Tennessee. So we're hoping for a great day of being able to be out and enjoy the water. So please, if you're in the area and you want to come out and meet us and just have a day of fun, it's potluck style. You know, we got some charcoal grills that are going to be accessible for us. And so bring a dish, bring a side, bring a snack, bring your swim trunks, bring your swimsuits, you know, just come on out and hang out with a bunch of heathens in the Middle Tennessee area. So now that we got that out the way, again, all that information's down in the description or in the show notes of this podcast. Do be sure to check it out. Without further ado, let's welcome in Morgan from A Druid's Luck here on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast.
All right, folks. As I mentioned in the intro, we have a guest today who actually comes via way of some of her own unique esoteric kind of dealings. This is Morgan, and she has a Etsy shop. She is a tarot reader, an oracle reader. She has she has this brand or name called A Druid's Luck. So welcome to the show, Morgan. Thanks for tuning in.
It's really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You actually came to me in an email, and you had also, you've been following the podcast a bit on the socials, you know, you tune into the
two or three years. It's been a while. So
okay. Wow. Well, thank you for the support. It's greatly appreciated. You know, and you were one of the folks who commented on a post that we put out like a month or two ago, asking what people's you know, what should we talk about on the podcast? What should we ramble on about? And you came in clutch with the idea to talk about Loki.
Right.
And so now here we are talking about some of the things that you do. So I mentioned earlier on that you do tarot and oracle and Druid's Luck is your brand. So why don't you kind of elaborate on that for the people watching and listening, so they know what we're talking about.
So my mission with tarot, I do live to just serve the people through the cards. I mean, whatever you're going through, the cards really can help hone your intuition about any situation or yourself, people you're dealing with, big life themes. The cards are just, I live by the cards. I do have a Catholic background. I was raised Catholic, but during the pandemic, like a lot of us, right? A lot of us pagans.
There's definitely a lot of people that come from a monotheistic or Christian background. Catholic, I have a good friend who was, you know, born and raised, I guess, you know, in the Catholic Church. So that's quite a jump.
It is. Yeah.
To paganism.
Yeah. I even went to like a really Catholic college and everything, but after I came home, I was just like, you know, this isn't really working anymore. Like, so
Catholic school, huh?
And, yeah.
But my parents, they went to Catholic school, but it was back in like the 70s, early 70s. So things were probably a little bit different back then than they are now. And they didn't go to like college with it. It was like high school, I think. And they always talked about how mean the nuns were. Were they mean in like at the university level or the college level?
The nuns were pretty cloistered, actually. We didn't really talk to them a lot. A lot of them had like taken vows of silence too, so they didn't really like talk to anybody.
Well, even better.
the monks themselves, because like we even had monks who would teach our classes and stuff. But like, I mean, they were pretty nice for the most part.
That's good.
There is like that pressure though, you know, like, so-and-so doesn't go to Sunday mass. Like
they hold that over your head.
They do. Yeah. So I was just thinking about that a lot when I came home, and I was like, do I really want to be a part of that? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
there's still a lot of really cool things about the Catholic religion that I like. A lot of the saints and angels I think are really cool. But for the most part, it's just wasn't working. I mean,
yeah.
So
that's where a lot of us reach, you know, we I think at different points in people's lives, we've you know, especially, I don't know, maybe it's just my observation, but do you see like nowadays where more and more people are kind of awakening to the fact that they can think for themselves and find things for themselves rather than just absolutely. Following the tradition of their parents or grandparents absolutely. And just staying with that? You see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like when you're so far into it with the Catholic religion, it's just like, well, we follow this one person living in this tiny city who it's supposed to be the holiest place in the world. I mean, I don't know. And then as a Druid, it's just like, you can go outside and like, this is the holiest place in the world is all around me. Like,
yeah.
So
you are a, you would classify yourself or identify as a solitary Druid practitioner, yeah. Right? Druidic.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the Celtic and,
yes.
Yeah. Type themes of paganism. Right.
And I was thinking about this before we recorded. The funny thing is I work with a lot of Norse gods and I do like the Celtic gods a lot, but I don't know. It was weird. Like I, probably 2 or 3 years ago when I was starting out, I was just basic neo-pagan and I was exploring like Loki and different, just all of the different gods and gods. But earlier this year, I was like, okay, Loki, this isn't really working. Kind of shifted over to like Odin, Freya. I work with Bast a lot, the Egyptian cat god. And very cool. Yeah, like the fairies and stuff too. I mean, that's more Celtic. So,
So you have a bit of a mixed pantheon.
Mixed bag, yeah.
Yeah, mixed bag, yeah. So that's interesting. I, you know, from my angle, you know, I lean pretty heavily into the Norse or Germanic side of things. And, but I know a lot of people who have, you know, have had a place either in the past or currently have a place similarly, right? A bit of a mixed bag in their individual cultic practices, you know, the things that they do themselves individually, solitarily. Mm-hmm. I've never explored that. I always felt like if I'm going to invite one group of friends over that kind of align with certain ideas, I might not want to invite other friends over that things could clash, just kind of a personal thing. So yeah. It's interesting to see like what has been your experience with the blending of pantheons or the mixing of those types of you know energies. What's it been like?
It's funny. It's like, I think that almost comes from just the Catholic background. Oh, you're trying to buy a house, pray to the saint of like finance. You are trying to study, like pray to Thomas Aquinas, or you've lost something like Saint Anthony of Padua. And all these saints, they come from different countries, different cultures. Honestly, that's probably where I get it from.
So, okay.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, you know, a lot of people who I've noticed that come from like a Christian background feel the need to like abandon and leave everything that they ever were taught behind. Mm-hmm. And there is place for that. I feel like there's a lot of like worldview stuff that it shifts and it changes when you go into a polytheistic sort of practice. You know, your worldviews over time change.
Yeah.
But some of like the religiosity of it, I see kind of carry over across cultures and across religions. You know, like there's, right. I used to say, and I actually still do that, like Catholics are the pagans in denial. You know, they have the saints, they have all these rituals,
statues and everything. Like they are
just
in
like
denial.
Yeah, mass is so ritualistic. I've attended
body and blood, like that's very, you know, pagan almost. Yeah. So
the symbology, the yes. You know, all of
I
it.
I totally agree.
So it's interesting to hear someone else who grew up with that or followed that and even, you know, attended a school of higher learning that its theme was, you know, that's what it was built around.
Right.
Incorporate some of those elements into their current practices. So you do tarot, you read tarot, you read oracle. What is a Druid's luck
about?
Yeah. What is all that about?
The tarot, yeah, which with the tarot, I just look to work with the client where I have different like spreads and everything, but more into the other side of a Druid's luck. The Etsy shop is opening with the spell wish boxes where, I mean, you just put items that are precious to you in it or things like you know, it could be a rock or a deck of cards, maybe a piece of paper with like a special intention on it. And then you would put it on your altar or wherever you want. And yeah, like just manifest your goals, your dreams.
Great.
Yeah.
So you're going to be launching your Etsy shop under the name A Druid's Luck.
Correct. Soon, right? Yeah. Yep.
Great. And there's going to be links in the show notes and description. So everybody listening and watching, if what Morgan's talking about sounds of interest to you, or you maybe find yourself along that similar type path or want to mm-hmm. maybe incorporate things, definitely be sure to check out the links that are going to be in the show notes and description. So
yeah, and they are made to order, so definitely like reach out to me. I can talk to you about the materials I work with, and yeah,
love it.
So
that's great. Mm-hmm. It's all very fascinating. And we're actually here today because one of the people who follows my podcast and I've kind of interacted with a bit online asked a question recently. And, you know, we are going to be talking today a bit about burnout.
Yes.
And this is not something that I think any of us are foreign to. We've all felt that. We've all felt that, you know, feeling of I just don't care. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Burnt out. Right.
Yeah.
And before we really get into talking about that from our different perspectives or our different angles, you had planned something for this episode with your tarot cards, didn't
you? Yes. Okay. So today I thought we could do a 5-card based off of the 5 different elements spread, and it's going to be a collective reading. Just asking the question, what does our do ourselves, you and me, Jesse, and the audience need to know about going into this weekend, the kind of energy that we should be aware of. So
before you start, if I could just ask one thing, is after the show or maybe after the reading, since it's not going to be live on camera for folks to see, anyone that wants to see it, would you mind maybe grab a snapshot, a picture of the spread when you do it, send it to me and I'll lay it over.
Sure.
The screen so that those that are watching can see it, because this is a video podcast as well as audio, so those that see.
I thought I would have like a tripod by the time we recorded, but unfortunately it did not arrive in time.
It's all good. It's how we do things here. We shoot from the hip and make it work. So we'll do it.
For sure. Okay, so we're working today with the steampunk tarot, which is by Barbara Moore. The first element that we'll do is for air, so that would be guidance just coming from your mind, your thoughts. Air is a lot about communication. So what would we need to know about communication going into this weekend? Do that one. With earth, I mean, that really relates a lot to your material realm, like your money, your finance, your career. And then water is going to be your emotions and your intuition. So emotionally, what would you need to know going into this weekend? Fire, what are your passions? What are you, wanting? And lastly is spirit. So this card is going to be representative of your true self or the divine. And flip them over. Wow, seriously? Okay.
See, I can't see anything either. So like the people that end up listening to this, they're like, what do you mean? Wow.
Wait,
I don't either. No, I don't know either, guys. Yeah, like it's going to be interesting to see this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying wow, because the first 3 cards that we pulled are arcana cards. The first one that we have is the Hanged Man. And I'm just going to take my guide here. So he is number 12. Usually it represents being uncomfortable, but like can also be representative of like surrendering to an experience or situation.
And this is the air, right?
This is the air
element.
Yeah. So this is probably somebody who needs to listen to themselves more is like what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, like probably.
And remember, guys, this is what's going into this coming weekend. So as we hear about what, you know,
right, we're doing is being this on pulled, Monday. So
yeah, I'm we're like, doing okay. We're recording this on Monday. You guys are listening to this on a Thursday. So gearing
that's why
up
I'm thinking
through the
so
week
hard about this right now. Stuff, I'm like,
It's going to have probably different perspectives for like us doing this right now, getting this content out to you. From the time of us doing this to the time you
I
hear
feel like
it.
I'm going to listen to this on Thursday and be like, oh, that makes sense now. But so willing surrender to an experience or situation. So I think that's probably somebody needs to be willing to communicate more, whether it's with people they work with or their personal life, their family. Arcana are really representative of like major themes in your life. So that could be like a life lesson for someone. Okay. And then Temperance, that's number 14. I was going to say, Jesse, before we started the show, that I'll send you images of these cards.
That'd be great.
Too, of the artwork. Yeah. So we can like
the artwork and then, yeah, the final spread, because I can put these up on the screen and people that watch can see what you can see, right? So, yeah,
right.
That'd be great. Very organic, folks. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this on the podcast.
I've tried this spread, too, so you guys are my guinea pigs for this one, too.
Very cool.
All right, so with the Earth Element card, we have Temperance. That's another major theme in your life. Relating a lot to right thing, right time, right place. So maybe it could relate to somebody being in the right place at work, in their career, in their finances. Temperance is a lot about like give and take too, and like balance.
Right, yeah, not giving too much, not taking too much, that kind of, that balance, yeah.
Exactly.
And Earth, and that's that's on the Earth card or the Earth element,
material,
right?
Material, yeah. The
Is there anything to do with like grounding on that?
He's actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. She's it's this angel. She's standing barefoot with her toe like touching some water. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
that's really crazy. Yeah,
critical detail right there.
Yeah, like cards just do like details like that.
Okay.
But she's holding two spheres, and it looks like there is water being balanced in between them. So I guess somebody needs to know that about their job or their money or their possessions to keep things balanced, to make it a goal in their life. All right. And then our third element, water. So that's emotions and intuition. Okay, the tower came up, and the tower is, people usually freak out when they see the tower, but it's not really a negative card unless you want it to be. I think that like probably a lot of us are, there's always something going on, right? In your life, like it never ends really. We all have problems. but what the tower teaches us is that even though this building is falling down, I mean, you have to look and see what can be salvaged from the wreckage. So I'd say like for this person, what can you salvage from a situation that maybe emotionally isn't going well? Maybe you got a valuable experience or like, I don't know. I really like the tower a lot actually, because if you think about it too, like a building falls down, it can be rebuilt stronger.
Yeah, I almost see it as like a and this one was the
water,
mm-hmm. element, right? Yeah, so I don't know. I'm very animistic in my views of the world as of late anyway, and so I always see the entropic side of nature and how decay and whatnot leads to new life, you know. So
yes.
Things that are falling down and things that are falling apart may have just run their course, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's time to
totally.
Lay those things to bed and mm-hmm. look to, like you said, salvage things from the wreckage.
Yes.
And build up from there,
right? Like it doesn't always mean that something is going wrong in your life. It just means like, yeah, you got to let go and move on and rebuild.
Yeah. That's tough. That can be tough for a lot of us.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big, you guys will be able to see the image. It's a big building built on a tree. It's hard. A lot of people worked on that. Like a lot of energy went into building that. So
it's hard to let go of things that you feel like you've put all your effort into, you know, and that's like, no, man, but I did so much. And why, you know, you almost, you want to hold on to that forever, and it doesn't always work that way.
No.
Yeah.
Our fourth element, fire. So your desires and passions, the King of Swords, speaking to somebody who, I mean, he is a noble. He's the highest of the court cards. And with swords being about truth, about communication, in the image, he's reading a book. So again, going back to what do you stand for? What's important to you? What do you value? What else can I see here? There's a sword behind him. There's a boat. So
so water again is part of this fire element in a way. That's interesting. If a boat is there, boats are used for traveling on water. Right. I'm trying to see what you're seeing from the description of it. So when I think boats, you know, I'm thinking the carrier across water, and water
it's
leads
definitely
to things
suggestive of travel. Like there's a globe behind him too on the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's like in a library. It looks like a personal library, and there's like a really nice sword behind him. So that's probably somebody who wants to travel a lot. Somebody who likes to study other cultures.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, when I say collective, we're probably reading for the both of us in a way too. It's just like, it's interesting with collective readings because like, I don't, I have like rules with them. I won't do them on TikTok because I've seen people do that. And it's just very, it's kind of gross. Like people are like, yes, no, you know, and they don't explain why.
But I feel the same way about runic divination too.
Right.
So not to interrupt you, but.
No, you're good. Like when you see that, it's just not genuine. It's just people
trying to make a buck.
Exactly.
Charlatans, man. Like
I don't work that way. If I give you an answer, I want to be able to go into it and sort of flesh out the details here. So that would be the fire element. Going into spirit, your truest self and the divine, which is the Nine of Wands. Nines are a lot about attainment, and wands are a lot about going back to like passion, because the element for the suit of wands is fire. So it's kind of crazy. The spread really just tied itself together. But it shows a person, she's looking through a telescope or kaleidoscope, whatever.
Huh. Well, it's interesting because the spirit card has a representation of nine, which for those who follow like the northern traditions, like myself and whatnot, nine is a sacred number. The nine realms,
is
right?
It?
Yeah, because you got the nine realms, and so it gets that nine and multiples of nine.
Cool.
You know, the three Norns. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of there's some sacred connections to that number in itself. And you said it's the Nine of Wands, which is I don't do tarot. I've not really studied them so much. Weirdly enough, I was given a tarot deck with a bunch of like Norse and whatnot imagery on it.
Oh,
and I've had
cool.
those cards read for me, and they were a gift from my wife, and I've had friends of mine read those tarots for me. But so there's like, you know, images of the gods, and then there's runes and other things. And so they're pretty neat. But
that sounds right up my alley. Yeah.
Interesting spread.
I can just like reference my guide really quick here though.
Please,
because like I'm really good at like the arcana meanings, but like the pips are really hard because they make up half of the deck. So, I mean, you want to read as intuitively as possible. You want to see like what the card is kind of telling you. Oh, I like it. Preparing for the next challenge. So someone who's been through a lot of different things and the pips too, they're representative of situations. So
that's unique. Yeah, that's everybody's got their own situation, you know, but
whoever this is for, it's kind of saying that like this is the last stand, like this is it, a decision has to be made. It's someone who is deciding their spiritual path. I don't know, like am I doing this for real or
so is it what you're doing now, is this kind of like the read of the spread, the summary of everything kind of
what we can do really quick with the oracle card, sort of summarize everything we had. Hanged Man, Temperance, the Tower, King of Swords, Nine of Wands. It's pretty intense with like the three major arcana themes in there. Like that's a lot of life learning.
So it ain't going to get easy is what we're saying.
Here, right. It never does.
This is the buckle up.
Right. So you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to balance things. And you definitely have to be willing to let go of what's not working anymore. So, and then obviously just standing up for what you believe in, what you're passionate about. And, then making a call spiritually, like if something's not working out or
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said before, some of the struggles that I see people facing with their spirituality and whatnot is, you know, finding their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in, and I don't know if you have experienced this through your like druidic practices or studies and being solitary, you may have avoided some of what I'm about to say, but at least in like the heathen circles and communities, you know, it's very community based, tribal based, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people see that where heathenry thrives and shines the best is with community, with tribe, with others of like minds. And when you get so many like minds together, you know, you're bound to cross swords a bit. You know, you're gonna have debate, have disagreements. And some of those disagreements get so heated and so heavy that, like, especially on like the historical side of things, some people will become vehemently, you know, if it's not historical, then it's wrong. And then you get people that are like, well, guess I'm doing it wrong then. And they neglect to follow what they know to be true because it works for them. And they abandon that because somebody guilted them into thinking it was wrong. Like, who the hell are you to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong? That's their experience. Yeah. You know? Their experiences are valid.
Right.
And I love the history side of things. I love learning about the way the culture was, you know, in the pre-Christian times and how the people, from what we can learn through archaeological finds and other things, learn how the people probably lived and experienced the divine in their ways. But I also feel like it needs to have its place, right? Like that's how it was done back then. It was done back then for a specific reason, because that was the way the world was at the time. You know, we don't sacrifice horses nowadays because that's just not a thing that we do.
Upon.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's illegal in a lot of places. And we certainly don't have, you know, 9-year sacrifices of humans like they did at one point in time in old Uppsala, you know, Uppsala, Sweden. And clearly that's not a thing anymore. So part of the history is like, yeah, let's stay relevant and let's glean from it, but don't discredit someone's experience from being any less valid. Cool. So
that's
definitely
not cool.
I like that the cards that you've, you know, read and spread have this underlying theme, maybe an overarching theme of don't be afraid to dig through the rubble of things. Don't be afraid to go down that path. Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to, you know, be ready to have your sword drawn, right? Have that
but,
protection,
you know,
there, you know, but don't
king.
Be afraid to
it's
go
a
there.
King, so it was a king. So, I mean, what he says is authoritative. Like, it's not like a page or a knight. It's definitely like
it's like law.
Right. It's like you are in control. So,
it's good.
Yeah. Like, I actually have one more quick reference for that court card. Just look. They get a little more specific. I'm actually in the middle of a masterclass for that one right now, but, this person though is definitely rational. I mean, definitely. So,
I'm hearing everything you're saying and I'm like applying it to myself, and maybe the listeners, once they get to this point, are going to be doing the same. Cause it's
was
like
supposed to be for like everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Let everybody kind of
great about
put the
tarot.
Pieces.
It's very like relatable to a lot of us. I did this reading for my dad that was just insane because like it was so spot on. As far as just like his health.
Wait, your dad was insane or the reading was insane?
Both. Okay. He is actually insane.
You're like, I did this reading for my dad that was insane. I'm like, oh,
he
was, or he is, or you know,
oh, he is. Like, definitely he is.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, we did the chariot spread for him. And I was like, okay, so you're not sleeping still. You are like, what else was there? There was like strength was his obstacle that he was trying to overcome. I was like, okay. There was like a lot of really heavy stuff. And I was like, yeah, I think this is you. So, obviously with like friends and family, sometimes, I mean, you know them, so it's definitely easier to relate the cards, to just what you know about their lives.
Yeah. I did want to touch on that real quick because, you know, reading any sort of divination. Mm-hmm. I think I've done runic divination, you know, that's where I found my comfort zone. And it hasn't been comfortable getting there. I mean, it was a sacrifice. There was a lot of trials and whatnot to get where I am. And I'm not even the greatest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always learning, right? Never always the student, never the master. But the bias, you know, that can sometimes creep in because of the person that you know, you maybe don't want to say the wrong thing or show them something that may be upsetting or whatever. It's like, sorry, but this isn't, I'm not trying to make your day here. This is what it says, you know, like,
right.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And how challenging that can be with people that we know that are close to us. And
yeah, it was, I have kind of a mixed relationship with him, but like, it was a Father's Day gift and I recorded like the audio notes. I like, you know, did like really detailed notes for him, and it was hard like telling him, you know, like, hey, we don't talk often, but like, you should just be aware that I'm aware that like this is going on. And, it ended really hopefully. He got like the Two of Wands or the Three of Wands. I think it was the Two of Wands, suggesting a lot of opportunity. But I mean, the thing about tarot and like the future cards, it's really you. Like, they'll never 100% promise anything. It's really up to you to do the work. So
yeah,
like divination is interesting. It's something in 2017 when I started, I bought my first deck. I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I didn't really think of it as that, but like now, in the last year or two, having studied it a lot more intensely, it's like, wow, yeah, we really are channeling like a
lot, man,
of
we're
this energy.
Weaving is a
we
way
are.
I like to put it. It's not so much just trying to see, well, what does somebody else have to say? It's like, what can I put into these threads? How can I weave things in my own way? You know?
Yeah.
And it's really powerful stuff, man. When like when you get people who are good at it, it does things.
I know.
I've seen it. You know, it's nothing, and people can be you know, they can believe it or not, and that's their prerogative. I'm just saying from my experience, it's when when you enter into those threads and put yourself in it like that, it's, you're part of it now.
Right.
And we have that ability.
Right.
And that's why I'm always cautious with people who get into heathenry. I was to say heathenry specific because I know that's my wheelhouse. And that, like, one of the first things they want to get into is, let's learn the runes, you know? I'm like,
oh yeah.
Maybe not. Like, maybe you not. may hold off a bit, you know, like, right, get into right. understanding like hearth cult and your relationships with the spirits in and around you, you know, the Vaitir or whatever you want to call them, and then how your relationship blooms within or from that to dealing with the divine. And then, you know, at some point along the way, it'll probably be made manifest to you that the runes should be something you delve into. And that's how it was for me. You know, I didn't think at first that was something I should do. It was quite literally just like a crack in the middle of the night, you know, like a lightning crack that said, time to do it, time to hang from the tree.
Right.
You know, as it were. And that's where it started. It wasn't me deciding to do it. It was getting this message, as it were, from like the divine, from the universe, from the gods, however you want to label it. That's how it was for me. And I caution people that feel like they just have to do it because, well, that's just part of heathenry. It's a part of it, but it's a separate part of it. Like, it's
right
back in the old days, you know, people that were designated to do it did it. Not, it wasn't like every Tom, Dick and Harry in the village, you know, had our own set of runes. And like, we have some sources that say, well, you know, the man of the house would do it. And then you have other sources that mention Volvas, you know, specific seeresses and the Saith Kona, you know, those women, those people of the village, of the area that were kind of traveling and did it from village to village. You know, they didn't stay in one place. They took that stuff with them. And why do you think that was? Because the people didn't want to keep that powerful energy, like, hibernating with them.
Right.
Like, okay, you did your thing now.
Right.
Go away.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's kind of funny. My husband, because I've been educating him as I've gotten more into this, especially this year, I'm like, so today, all, you know, I'm a part of a community for tarot. I'm like, today I learned it is crucial. You do not touch someone's deck unless you have their permission. Absolutely not. Like, if it's an accident, okay.
Yeah.
But So he always asks, which is like so sweet, because I'm like, it's okay. Yes, you can like move them or whatever. And it's always one of those things, because they do just have a lot of potent energy in them. Mm-hmm. So
I don't, when I do readings, you know, I pretty much make it known, like, the readings that I do with the runes that I use, these are mine, you know?
Yeah.
If I give you permission to touch one or move one or pick one up, that's fine. Other than that, it's hands off. Let me maneuver them, you know?
Absolutely.
So I get it. Now, you know, we could almost make a whole podcast about divination.
Yeah. Maybe in the future.
Definitely. I think it's a fun topic, and I think a lot of people are really into it. So it would be a fun thing. But I do want to.
Sorry, go ahead. Because I'm trying to get Ogham runes, which are the Celtic runes. Because I'm like, okay, like, I'm doing pretty good with tarot, but I'm a druid. Like, I should be reading Ogham. So, which I have studied and charted, like, I know some of the basic meanings of those. My handbook's pretty comprehensive about it. So there is a GoFundMe if you guys wanted to donate. It just covers a set of runes, a book, and a notebook. And I was willing to do, because, like, I, you know, I'm not going to charge for something I don't know how to do yet. So if you guys want to practice, like, we can do it over Zoom or whatever once I've studied. Yeah.
Awesome. So we'll be definitely, we'll definitely be linking that, because I'm all about, you know, tapping into the resources in the community, and crowdfunding is a great way for people to support, you know, small businesses and support their creators and be interactive in that way. So yes, it'll be linked in the show notes and description. So check it all out for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, burnout.
Burnout.
You know, this topic, this word can cover a slew of things. You can be physically burnt out because you just, again, don't feel like getting up mm-hmm. and doing anything because it's so repetitive, right? I'm bored.
Right.
But so we can talk about that too. But also, I think it definitely hits home for a lot of us when it comes to feeling burnt out in spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
Have you experienced stuff like that yourself?
Yeah. I would say like most recently, it would have been like end of last year. And I was kind of just doing my thing normally. I was still working in pharmacy at the time, though, as a technician. Really hard job, especially during the holidays. And I just kind of stopped. Like I stopped even acknowledging the deities I was working with each day. I wasn't really like I was barely reading tarot. I try to do that for myself every day, if not, you know, doing readings for other people. But yeah, I was definitely burned out physically, mentally, spiritually. Didn't want to do it anymore. Like, definitely.
Did you and I know I've done this too, where you find something of inspiration, right? And it gets you fired up. You know, you wanna be immersed in it all the time as much as possible. And that's where you find your happiness, you know, your fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens that takes that away. And I think a lot of us wonder, well, was it ever really that strong enough to begin with? If something in my life could take that fire away, you know, and lose, mm-hmm. lose that interest. We almost feel ashamed. I think some of us do that, you know, life in general can be so manipulative, you mm-hmm. know, towards us and take away things that we at one time felt so passionate about.
Right. Right.
What are some things that you felt that maybe you felt, you know, beneficial to healing that kind of feeling?
I recommitted to sobriety. That seriously helped me a lot. I know for me, it just runs in my family. So for me, it's just not a good idea. You know, like just that's it. It's just not a good idea for me.
So no stimulation, no substances at all to any sort of stimulants. Just it's a hard no, right?
Yeah. So I mean, sobriety, it really rocks. Like I'm 5 or 6 months sober now and I'm like, I have my life. Yeah. Thank you. Like, it's just well like, done. I have those relationships with, those guides, like again, and, that doesn't, I'm not thinking about, oh, I have to, you know, budget around my alcohol this week, or I have to, you know, like plan my drinking or whatever. Like I know, for people who struggle with that, it's just kind of like, okay, can I get away with it here? Can I not? Like when I get home, like alcohol is really just, it's your brain.
yep.
So recommitting to sobriety was like huge for me. I stopped working in pharmacy. I took some time off because I wanted to study for my federal certification. So I had like a state provisional license in my state. But if you're federally licensed by the board, I could work in like any state or territory. So I took some time off to do that. And you know what kind of happened is I just ended up leaning more towards my spirituality. Like, I was trying to study pharmacy every day, but I was like, I love pharmaceuticals. I love how helpful they are sometimes, but they can do a lot of damage too. I've seen it.
Synthetic drugs, you mean, right? Like,
And I saw that in the pharmacy. It's totally a huge reason I relapsed. It's totally a huge reason I burned out, was just seeing these people struggle over chemicals. It's just what it is.
I never really realized, just hearing you say, like, what kind of, you know, the type of people that you're exposed to every day working in that industry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just people coming in because they need their asthma inhaler refilled. Like, there's people that make the regular pharmacy visits because of some pretty heavy duty stuff.
Right. I mean,
I'm sure you got some crazy horror stories, which we don't have to go into, but I mean, I'm sure you've seen some things, like,
I've counted some prescriptions where I'm like, holy crap. Like,
why?
Wow. Yeah. But you know, like that's just like what hurt ultimately and like made me so just not want to do it anymore.
It hurt your spirituality, you mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, the, like my soul. I was like, it's really? Like soul crushing, like, you know. So
sounds very it's like the path of an empath. Like it sounds very empathetic to the point of other people's pain is your pain.
And I definitely think that comes with like my mood disorder too, but because I'm bipolar, but like I mean, as a technician, as a pharmacist, you do have that bedside manner, you do care about your patients. Everybody gets burned out. I mean, like physically we're not eating, we're not drinking enough water. There would even be times where it's like, do I have time to go to the bathroom? Dude, it's the bathroom. Like, oh, go to the bathroom. You know, that's how bad it would get though. Like, I studied for it for a while and I was like, I can't be a part of that. Like something where your basic needs aren't even really, like, you just care so much or the company cares so much that like you're not even taking care of yourself physically.
So life to work balance is off.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I know a lot of folks, and you know, at least here in this country, in the United States, can relate to. We have a terrible life work balance ethic. You know what I mean? Like ethically, morally, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like especially when you get into corporate type jobs or at the corporate level. I mean, any efforts to, you know, advance, almost it goes hand in hand with, well, you're going to have less time with mm-hmm. your family. You know, you got to put more time into the business, more time into the company. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, but there is nothing, there's no monetary job on this planet that is worth that to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I take my time off mm-hmm. now, and I didn't used to, you know what I mean? Like there was times over my life where I'd be like, well, I didn't use it. You know, meaning like my vacation time or mm-hmm. pay time off. And I know not everybody has a career or a job that offers that, but when it does, and when you can, don't let it burn up. Don't literally let your, like your health burn up on you. You need that time mm-hmm. away from your job, from, because look, how many hours of the day do we spend away from our loved ones because of these things called jobs,
right?
And we're losing that connection, that meaningful connection with the people that matter the most. We're not sitting down at dinners together hardly anymore. We're not taking time, even when we do go out to eat, to enjoy one another's company, because it's such a busy, hectic, you know, get in this seat, feed them, get them out of this seat so the next people can come in, repeat, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's such a disconnected lifestyle that the world has kind of just leaned into, gone, you know, gravitated towards. It's no mm-hmm. wonder people are just like, I'm sick of this. I'm burnt out. I don't know what to do anymore. Where can I feel rejuvenated?
Right. I think a lot of it starts just with your basic self-care
take care of ourselves. Are you
eating? Are you eating at the same times? Like, is it good food? You know, are you just grabbing whatever's available? Sleeping enough? Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. I interrupted you. But yeah, like the eating thing, I was talking with someone not all that long ago. It was about being full after we eat versus being fulfilled. And you look at like the portions of food that are served in like restaurants nowadays and everybody's like, oh, they had such great portions. Well, sure, but is it just empty calories? I mean, are you literally eating 2,000 calories at lunch of junk? You know, when you look other places in the world and it's like they give you, you know, little, but it's like naturally grown, organic. It's fulfilling. Like mm-hmm. it makes you feel better when you eat food that you mm-hmm. know there's been love and care put mm-hmm. into it. It's such a different experience than just eating for the sake of eating. It's like eating Definitely. To be nourished on all levels.
Definitely. I had gastric bypass done 2 years ago. It really taught me how to eat again. Like, yeah, I was basically a baby. Like, I went from liquid to semi-solid to solids again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I'm like really picky about what I eat now. I mean, sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know. I just think of this random story that like a fitness trainer I follow, she was talking about how she was training for a like body competition, some sort of swimsuit competition. And it got crazy to the point she wouldn't eat an apple because she was afraid it would like show. I mean, that is like caring a little too much. So I'm not that crazy, but like,
yeah,
you know, it goes both ways. It absolutely goes both ways.
Absolutely. I think you can get burnt out on the good stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
If I mean, going too hard or being any extreme to any level isn't healthy. You know, moderation is the key. You know, you can be a gym rat and a fitness buff or a mm-hmm. nutrition guru and still be miserable and be like, I'm just done with, you know, counting the calories, the macros, the, you know, again, moderation, right?
Yeah,
you can do it easily enough.
Our card we pulled for temperance, it goes back to that, the balance.
There you go.
I've been meditating on that one a lot this past week. I know we were like emailing back and forth and I was like, I'm going to start the nicotine lozenges, which I do and don't. I just try to like put it down occasionally, like give myself a timer or something, but.
Baby steps, you know, you got to start somewhere. Yeah. But that's great because, you know, the temperance thing really does fit. And again, like we had no idea, at least I didn't prior to this episode, that was going to be a card that is pulled on an episode built around balance or, mm-hmm. or you know, burnout requires it to avoid the burnout. You got to have mm-hmm. balance, you know, because again, if you're too much one way or the other, then of course you're going to get tired of it. You're going to be like, the hell with all this, man.
Right.
You know, why bother anymore? What's the point? Right. You're not feeling fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that have helped me find balance, and nobody's perfect, and I'm one of those people who aren't, you know, but one of the things that have helped me find balance is knowing when I want something versus when I need something. And mm-hmm. if I feel that it's a vice or if it's something that is, you know, potentially harmful to me or others around me, if I feel like I need it, then I don't.
Yeah.
You know, if I want something, how badly do I want it? Do I want it because I'm feeling stressed or do I want it because mm-hmm. I'm feeling like burnt out? Oh man, having mm-hmm. this would really, really calm me down. Mm-hmm. That changes from a want to a need because now you're feeling like in order to not feel a certain way, this other thing has to be part of your repertoire to achieve that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus just, wow, you know, it's a nice cool night or it's a nice warm night. I would really enjoy this thing, that or the other, right? And right. then just leave it at that. And so, you know, burnout can happen when we overindulge, when we push too hard, when we go too hard in the paint, right? When we're when we're just giving everything we've got and not nurturing ourselves to be able to mm-hmm. handle it, I think is another key thing. Burnout happens when we're firing on all cylinders and we're not giving that engine enough time to cool down before mm-hmm. we fire it back up again.
I just thought of like, I think too, when we're burned out, maybe physically we get so tired, but it's like, there's kind of something really cool about just being disciplined. I mean, I sometimes wake up and I'm like, I don't really want to pull any cards, but I'm like, but I'll feel so much better if I do, you know, go shuffle my deck and get out my journal. I always feel a lot better. And, what I like about how it's evolved to nowadays is like maybe I'm running out the door and I check my app for tarot and I just pull a random card. Okay. I mean, there's probably people who are like, you didn't create a sacred space and this and that. And I'm like, but I did. You know, I took a moment to sort of breathe and clear my head. I was you know, driving with my husband somewhere, I had a question, whatever, like I nurtured myself spiritually. So like, there are tools that, you can utilize spiritually if you are feeling burned out. It doesn't have to be sit down at my altar, line up all my crystals, light my candles, you know, I don't have, the opportunity to do that.
It doesn't have to be like a formal event, right?
Right. I do believe in clearing your headspace, before you access any energy like that. But yeah, like I think a lot of us, we feel like there's pressure to do that, to just be like, well, you know, I've been out all day and I didn't have time to set up my altar. So like, forget it. I'm just gonna go to bed, or I'm just gonna keep watching TV, whatever, not engage.
Yeah. Like doing the complete opposite of the other extreme.
Yes.
You know, going too hard. And then that's one opposite, or that's one extreme. And then you have the opposite of that is not doing anything at all. Not even trying, not even putting forth any effort. And I got to thinking about too, I don't know if you've ever experienced this with, I'm sure there's people that have been in your life who admire you, right? That look up to you. And when they see things that you do to whatever degree, right? Even if it's just a social media post or whatever, like they have this vision of you, they envision you as a certain thing, right? And they feel like they're falling short because they're not doing the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Have you ever experienced that?
Mm-hmm. And, like comparing yourself or them comparing themselves to you.
They see this source of inspiration and they are like, I want to be that. Mm-hmm. I want to be just like that. Or they go, I want what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
I want what that person has.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been victim of that too. I've been like, I see, you know, over the years, the way, you know, someone's house is or their aesthetic or just the way mm-hmm. they are, you know, project themselves on online, on social media. And I learned very quickly, you know, not everything that you see is what's really happening.
Exactly.
You're only seeing a portion of it. You're seeing a side of this person's life. This isn't 100% always their reality. They're going to have bad days. Shit gets messy with them too, just like it does with us. So, you know, I think some of the things that we talk about burnout is if you're always trying to achieve something that you think is the ideal lifestyle and you're basing that off of what you see online or what you see mm-hmm. someone just sharing about on their social media, that's an unrealistic goal to attain.
Absolutely.
You can't do that and then feel fulfilled or enriched. Of course, you're going to feel burnt out because you're striving for something that doesn't exist.
I earlier this year listened to a great book about, it's called something like How to Make House When You're Drowning or something like that. I was in this support group for women on Discord, but like, and everybody was listening to it anyways. But we're like, this is so great because the author is really like, you're not lazy, you know, you're just human. Like if you have a laundry system, your laundry doesn't get perfectly folded and put away. You're just taking it from the dryer. Hey, you have a working laundry system. I'll tell you that. Like your clothes get clean, you wear them. Like that's just reality. Or there was like something else I was reading where I kind of lost my train of thought, but like my point is just houses are meant to be lived in. Like
mm-hmm.
they're meant to be lived in. And honestly, when you're seeing content creators like show you their space, it probably only looks like that 15 or 20% of the time.
For the content. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to set the stage, you know?
Yeah. Because houses are just like, you know, we eat and we sleep and go about our lives here. And
I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't feel very welcoming if I'm in someone's home that's like spotless. I'm like paranoid. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Do they do anything here? Or is this just like a rental space?
Oh, yeah, you know,
that totally. Are they just showing this off or everybody yes, to think certain, yeah. like, where do you live? Like, how do you, what do you do here? Like, there, you know, again, moderation is key. You know, there's some people are more fastidious than others. And other people's standards of cleanliness are a bit different.
Right.
But as long as it's not like just, you know, a train wreck in your living room, or it's, you know, you know, the roaches
you
are
sanitary,
vying for space.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like basic you want to make sure that the litter box is getting done. You want to make sure that you're, you know, sweeping and stuff. And
yeah. Like, but if I see some dust on a coffee table or on a shelf, I'm not going to be like, no, right. I'm going to be like, well, this is what life's about. You know, it's not perfect, and that's okay. Don't stress it. But
especially if you have kids. I mean, and I don't have any kids myself, but like, you know, my niece and stuff, like my sister-in-law will be like, I'm sorry, or the pets, you know, the dog and stuff. And I'm like, hey, she's like three. It's okay. Like
our niece is going to be two in September.
Oh,
and we've got three dogs.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. I mean, when it comes to like our standard of cleanliness, it's like, well, at least there's not, you know, piles of fur in the corner.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of dust here, some toys thrown around. Right. You know what I mean? You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, when people talk about, you know, the burnout thing, it's sometimes you're just putting too much into the things that almost don't matter. Like,
exactly.
Don't try to live like me. I mean, great. If I'm being inspiring and there are things about what I'm saying or doing that inspire you to find some sort of fulfillment in that way, then do it. But I mean, don't try to copy me.
Right.
Don't be me, be yourself.
You are you. Yes. You are you, and everybody is unique. And, like everybody has something to offer. So,
I think it's part of that study. You know, I'm reflecting a bit on the cards, and I'm probably butchering some of the context, but I was
I took a photo before I put them away too. So
the king, you know, reading his books and in that library, you know, where all this knowledge is accessible, you know, and it's you could drown yourself in those waters. You could become so engrossed with trying to find the answer that when it's smack dab in front of your face, you can't see it. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes it takes us the time to pull back, get out of that mess, get out of the muck, and just evaluate things. You know, take that time away. If you're so engrossed with something, not meaning you, I'm just saying like to the, you know, us in general. Like if we're so engrossed in things that we are, that are our lives with other people, or just our quality of life is suffering, then I think it's time that we reevaluate.
Yes.
I call it course corrections. You know?
100%. I think that's what the Nine of Wands was talking about too. It's like, it's definitely time to just make a call. But like, I feel that with like the being engrossed and studying and everything, where like, I mean, that's how pharmacy has been for me. At certain points, there's also ADHD in my family. We can definitely hyper-focus on topics very intensely. That's how like video games have been at a certain point for me. There was one point in my life where the trading card game I talked about with you, that's all that would get me out of bed in the day. Like I couldn't even get up, but I would to get my daily login and like to play. Like that was the only thing that kept me going. So while I think it can keep you pushing on and everything, it's like, there's that, again, the balance. I was like, how has it come to, I'm just playing this card game. A lot of it had to do with my living situation. I think we could talk about like environment too. There were a lot of issues going on out of my control, like with my family. But like, I also think it's really important when you're in too deep, you definitely just have to remember, stereotypical, if it's not okay, it's not the end. I like to think that. Yeah. If it really isn't the end, if everything isn't okay, then it probably isn't the end. You have a lot of different options. Like
you're going to get through it.
resources, whatever, to help
you. You're gonna
you.
Make it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're gonna make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of things, you know, because I do this stuff here on the podcast, you know, and I have a cadence that I do it in. I've fallen victim of feeling the obligation to do something just because I've set that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, moderation, right? There's a fine line. Yes, I do have an obligation. I do have a responsibility to fulfill things because that's the expectation I've set. But that responsibility and that obligation doesn't measure up nearly as much as, say, my obligation to my wife or my family or my tribe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's mm-hmm. a different measure that we're stacking mm-hmm. things up against. And so if I get busy one week, or if I'm just not feeling it, or mm-hmm. really anything, it's kind of like, hey, guy, I used to be at a place where I would feel really, really bad
mm-hmm.
about not doing a podcast for a week or two yeah. weeks or whatever. And I would feel like, oh, I'm letting these people down. And then I realized, well, no, I'm doing this for myself because yeah. I can't do, you know, anything of quality if I'm yeah. just over here, like, forcing it. And I think that's a part of burnout too, is, you know, you feel like I just have to do this for whatever reason. Like, again, right. you have the sense of obligation or the sense of responsibility. And then soon that takes over and you're like, no, fuck it. I'm not doing it anymore. And you lose the fire and you go, just, I'm done.
Oh yeah.
Be careful, like, with that. You know,
you, like, recently took that week off to go to the beach or whatever. I was happy mm-hmm. for you. I was like, that's awesome. Like, it's probably going to be so fun and so relaxing. And I just listened to my other podcasts. Like, no big deal. I was like, he's taking much needed time off. I think you just hit, like, some milestone or something. And I was like, yeah, like,
well, that was a much needed time, because I, you know, back in April when I lost my dad, my time away from the podcast was spent going back to New York and spend uh-huh. time up there. And then I came right back after that and went back to work. And so, yeah, sure, it was 2 weeks off of work, you know, but considering what the purpose and mm-hmm. the reason of why I was there, I didn't get a break. I
nope.
If anything, I had more, you know, things weighing on my mind and on my heart than mm-hmm. if I hadn't taken off. So it did. It reached a point where I'm like, I just need to not do yeah. anything. I need yeah. to forget that there's a page, a channel, a podcast, and I just need to look mm-hmm. at the water for a week or have my, you know, anything. And if that's what it takes, you know, then do it.
Right.
Like we said before, you know, don't be afraid to take that break, that mental right. vacation. Just disconnect for a while,
right,
you know. And if it requires you to make that big thing, you know, just do a hard reset and unplug everything,
yeah,
then hey man, that's what it takes.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, I was supposed to be on this show a little earlier even, but then my grandfather passed on the 9th, and like, we had a lot of time to prepare for it. He did have a lot of chronic health issues. Okay, still, that's a patriarchal figure
yes.
who's passing. And like, I had all of these readings lined up for, like, my friends and my family, and I was working through them so slowly, and it usually would happen in the afternoons. I would do so good during the mornings. It would get to be about, like, 2 or 3, and I was like, I just can't anymore. And I would just, like, take my comfort food to bed and, like, you know, put something on TV, go on yeah. a walk, whatever. And like, I'd even, like, put my phone on silent mode, like, you know, no, I don't want to talk to anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, his funeral this past week, it was definitely very, it was just peaceful, like, finally laying him to rest. And I really have felt like going back into my line of work with the cards and everything, it's like, okay, I'm ready now.
That's great.
Yeah, like, it was very hard, but like, I talked to my grandma this morning. She's doing okay.
That's good.
Yeah, like, family becomes really important around those yeah. times.
Perspective changes, you know, mm-hmm. things get brought back into focus. I think anyone who's experienced a close loss can definitely relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
The perspective of life in general, just where the importance of things land for us,
mm-hmm.
it shifts, it changes after the loss of someone so close like that. Right. You know? And I think that's part of the lesson, you know, dealing with burnout. It happens to all of us. Yeah. We're not exempt from it. No one's exempt from it. And we're not saying that here are your top 10, you know, druidic and heathen tips to avoid burnout. Look, guys, it's gonna happen. No, you're gonna get fed up. Yeah, with a lot.
I really think you just need to do what you need to do. If that's like my way of coping with my grandfather, seriously, was just YouTube, French bread, and like butter. That's what I did. Like that's sounds how great. I coped. Yeah. I was like, I just need this right now, and I allowed myself, and I feel better, and I'm back to my like regular eating habits now because I gave myself that time. So.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a good point too. I mean, catharsis, the way it happens, can it be some of the most random and odd, seemingly odd ways, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, when I walk barefoot on the ground, you know, that's cathartic. And other people be like, oh, weirdo.
But yeah, maybe doesn't work for some people.
Maybe not, maybe they just haven't reached the point in their lives that they realize how it mm-hmm. works, and believing mm-hmm. that it works, and actually putting forth the effort to want it to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like right. I can sit here and tell somebody who doesn't believe in runic magic all day long about how my castings have impacted people's lives. Uh-huh. And they'd be like, uh-huh, yeah, cool story, bro, whatever.
Yeah.
But if they don't believe it, is it real to them? No, it's not real to them because they don't mm-hmm. believe it. And you got to have a sense of belief. There has to be that spark, I think, in us that says it is true.
Yeah.
Or believes it is true.
Yeah.
So when we do those things, we're weaving that magic once again to make it manifest it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not just reading it from a book because some cool guy, whatever, years ago said that this is a good idea. I'm applying it because it speaks to me. And it's something right. that within myself, is in my soul, is a, right. it resonates.
When I look at my tarot, I'm thinking back to, wow, you know, this is something that's like almost 700 years old. I mean, think of the different figures that have held these cards, like how it's developed. I mean, people were hanged for it. They were burned for it. Like,
yeah, good point.
Yeah, like it's really powerful shit. So,
yep.
And the cool thing about tarot too, at least from a lot of the materials I've been studying and reading and following, is just like you don't necessarily have to be psychic. A lot of it really is just intuition. Like you look at your rune, you look at your card, what does that invoke in you? What kinds of feelings, what kind of words and imagery come to mind? And like the rest just kind of takes care of itself. It's really crazy how it happens every time, but
yeah, I think if I, you know, and that's one of the things too, like I don't know if you've seen this in some of your like online boards and whatnot, but do people share like their own tarot spreads and like some of the stuff that you're involved in? Like, do you see people online like sharing their tarot spreads and asking for interpretations, or hey, this is what I see, what do you see? Or is it like, because I've seen that with the runes, like people be like, guys, I drew, you know, Thurisas, Ansus, and Wunyo. Uh-huh. What does this mean? And I'm like, well, you're going to get however many people are in this group. Like if every single one of them answers, you're probably going to get like that many different answers.
Yeah, because it means
what does it say to you?
A little bit different to everybody. Right. How I interpreted the tower, somebody could probably interpret that a lot more negatively, just depending on like what kind of reader they are.
Or the context like, of the draw, right?
The context of the draw. Yeah. Like what question are we answering? If it was a question about a relationship, like, oof. Yeah. Probably, prob's not good, but like hopeful in the sense that like you got some experiences out of it and maybe it could be rebuilt is like how I would interpret that in a relationship. So like, yeah, I don't know. But I do see people sharing, like one woman on our community, she shared, help, I drew like 7 or 8 cards. They're all reversed. This has never happened before. That would probably freak me out. Mm. I rarely work with reversed cards. It's just kind of a preference right now.
Gotcha.
But I would probably freak out because a lot of people, when they see reversed, they're like, it's negative, it's this and that. But like reversals don't always have to be negative either. Sometimes they're actually more positive. So everybody was just kind of commenting like, it's okay, that's happened to me too. Or like, you know, this and that and the other thing.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, runes get pulled or castings done, and those who have done runic divination for years will comment on something, and there are nuances that are shared, you know, and similarities that other people mm-hmm. that get brought into it that will maybe look at it and give their put their two cents in, you know, find common ground with. But in many cases, the one person's read on the runes is different than the other person's, and they're all the same runes, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, if you get somebody who reads them left to right, let's say, you know, it's going to be totally a totally different story than from someone who reads them right to left.
Right.
Or who doesn't have any format of reading them. They maybe look at them in the sense of, well, which one came closest to the person who you were casting for? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what time of day was it? I don't know. I'm just, you know,
yeah, no, stuff that's like a totally that. Factor though. And then like with tarot, you can even get into, well, what star sign or whatever is this? Mm-hmm. Is this like an Aries or a Taurus? Or I mean, it just gets crazy.
You can
like, we all agree there's like keywords, there's like key meanings
yep.
to these cards, but yeah, like it's really cool because you just can kind of put your personality into it.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
You know, somebody reading your cards, you read them versus the next person who has their cards, how they read them. You get that, their element, you know, mm-hmm. their personality, their mm-hmm. style. And for the runes especially, you know, again, they all have their inherent meaning, like, you know, feyu, cattle, wealth, you know.
Right.
Okay.
That doesn't mean much, right?
But really, like, what are we talking about here when we're mm-hmm. looking at a spread or at a casting or a draw or something, you know? And it may not literally mean cattle in the literal sense. It has esoteric or metaphysical meanings that we like to associate them with. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, you know, rooted in anything super ancient or not, it has definitely, that method has proven to work for not just me, but others too.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that? You know, what's right. wrong with kind of coming up? I mentioned one time, like, oh, wow, we got all these rune poems. You know, we got a Norwegian rune poem, an Anglo-Saxon rune poem. We got an Icelandic rune poem. Mm-hmm. And I said with somebody one time, like, well, what about our rune poems? What kind of rune poems are we writing? And it's not to try to take away from what those characters represent, but I guess my point being was, are we breathing new life into this seemingly old or semi-ancient way of mm-hmm. of trying to get a sense of things, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point in time, whether it was runes or whether it was just sticks with symbols carved on them mm-hmm. or cards or tea leaves or fire or anything. I mean, mm-hmm. divination has been a very present component in human existence for a very long time.
Right.
You know? So
I would love to learn how to read tea leaves. I think that is so cool. I don't know much about that at all, though.
I know nothing about it. I just know that it's a thing. And I'm like, that's crazy, you know, like. Fire scrying, I think, is another one, or oh, isn't yeah. there one with like mirrors too?
You can do like actually what I do too during my readings, I do like some smoke scrying, so because I'm vaping. So
oh cool.
Yeah, I was just like, well, why the hell not? Yeah, I'm like, why the hell not? I'm like breathing life over these cards. Like, you know, I might as well try to discern or scry. So
how's that work for you? you keep going back to doing it, or is it like, well, that was weird, I won't do that again? Or has it given you like a perspective to pursue that element in your readings? Yeah,
definitely. Because I mean, as an earth element, as a Taurus, I'm very like, I love the earth, I love the ground. I hate the wind. When it gets windy, I hate it. Gets my hair all tangled, you know, it rocks the house. So I was like, okay, well, like I can't, because where I live, I can't burn incense inside, which sucks, but I can vape. And I'm like, okay. And I just got the idea from like my grimoire one day. because they have like guided like journal prompts, whatever. And it was like, try smoke scrying. And she had the example of like a candle. And I was like, well, I can't do that, but I'm vaping, so I might as well. Yeah, you just try to see like the images and stuff. Yeah.
Make it work in your own way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friend of mine, he's our brother in our tribe, he's a Thule, and he's also a Taurus. And then I'm a Scorpio. Our Gothi is a Libra, and my wife's a Leo.
Nice.
So yeah, our charts are all over the place. You look at like how some of our charts, like I don't know if you're into like astrology at all, but like how the charts can sometimes create images themselves.
I'm just not very good at it yet.
Like there was one time he's still a dear friend of mine, and he used to be our Gothi, but he's a Scorpio as well. And both of our charts, when you combine them, literally look like a hammer, like a Mjolnir. It was like very, very definitive.
No.
And then like the one between me and our current Gothi right now, it's very angular, very rocky. And I'm like, this is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
He's the Libra, and I'm the Scorpio. But with his chart, him and I forget who else, but his chart looks like a bow and arrow, like a drawn bow and arrow.
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting.
That's cool. So, yeah. I would have thought he was like a Sagittarius or something, but
maybe his moon is in Sagittarius. I don't remember.
Right. I know I'm like a Taurus, Virgo, but I don't know much about like my rising and stuff like that, how that affects me.
I'm a Scorpio rising. My sun's in Scorpio, but my moon's in Gemini.
Uh-huh.
So I got that double Scorpio thing going on,
mm-hmm.
which makes it difficult for people sometimes. But yeah, it's always fun, you know?
Yeah. Astrology is really fun. Sometimes like I read things and I'm like, okay, no, but for the most part,
that's like such a Taurus. No.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, like the thing about Taurus liking food, that's definitely true. Like that's a comfort thing for us. Like when in doubt, maybe some good food will like help a little bit. Right. But like,
I think that's just like, certain people, man. Like that's a comfort for me. Like if I can get a good meal in me, then it's like those old Snickers commercials, you know. You're not yourself when you're not yourself when you're hungry.
And that goes back to just being mortal, you know. You have your low blood sugar and you got to take care of yourself and stuff. And astrology is really cool though. I just checked my phone and the moon is a little over half wax. It's under Libra right now.
Interesting.
So that's cool. My sister-in-law is a Libra. And she's like a therapist. So she does really good at like balancing your strengths and your weaknesses. So,
That's an important thing too, therapy, you know, being, maybe not necessarily going to a therapist. I was just thinking like burnout and how sometimes we can't take care of ourselves. Sometimes we need that extra component, that third party, that unbiased person to help us out. And that's okay.
Definitely. Therapy can definitely really help. I've done group or individual and they're both pretty good. And then you like get to a point sometimes where it's like, all right, like I have done a lot of work here. I think I'm okay now. Or, I mean, if you can't afford therapy and, I mean, there's self-help books, there's a lot of support groups that are free. Like I don't go to AA meetings, but those are free.
Yeah.
You know, like there are definitely a lot of resources.
It's so accessible too, you know, for any and every type.
Like go to the library, like the library's free. I love the library.
I've heard both sides of, you know, that argument. People who I know that will find every reason and excuse why they can't get the help that they need, you know, and I'm like, is it that you can't or that you won't?
It's that they won't trust me.
You know, you know, because if you got to, that's the ugly part of ourselves that is hard to face when you're being confronted with the ugly truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just, I think that's human nature. Swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's human nature to defend ourselves.
Like my dad is, that's him. I mean, and that sucks. It's just like, well, I can't do the work for you though. So
exactly. You know, I wonder half the time, with some of the experiences I've had, maybe not half the time, but in some of the experiences that I've had, I'm walking away from the encounter going, were you expecting me to
Do this for
carry
you?
Carry this for you? Or were you just, you're left there wondering, what the heck just happened here? You're venting, you're clearly venting. I get that. And so I'm not going to say a whole lot, but then you're almost feeling like they're expecting a response and in such a way that they feel like, oh yeah, could you take this for me? Or could you do this for me? And I'm just over here going, no.
Right.
This is your ship. You got to sail it, man.
Right.
I'll help when I can, but I'm not going to, I can't do this for you.
I think for his reading, because sometimes I'll be here's a little homework. No, it's just if you want to meditate on something for a few minutes, or maybe there's a little journaling prompt, I'll be hey, journal on this. I think I just told him to reflect on whatever he was afraid of doing. I know he's not going to do it. And it's do I still sleep at night? Of course I do. I can't control that. And you love that person. They mean so much to you, but
they gotta do it.
They clearly don't love themselves. Yeah. There's something about them that really blocks their ability to love themselves. So.
Yeah, we all get into those times, I think, just some people worse than others or more intense than others, mm-hmm. taking care of ourselves, loving ourselves. Some people mm-hmm. just really, when they don't love themselves, they hate themselves.
Yeah.
And they hate themselves hard to the point that they withdraw, they pull away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's man, that ain't the way, dude. That ain't it. I understand how solitude can be healing. It's mm-hmm. when I do the runic stuff, whenever I see Isa, ice, I look at that as it's stillness, it's reflection, because the water now is the mirror and it's introspection. You got to go inward, but you also can't stay there too long because it can stagnate and it can become vile, and you can become so lost in your own self that you've lost sight of the next cycle, the yera, the harvest, the time to move, mm-hmm. right? To allow that movement and that change to happen. And some people really, I've come to learn, have a real tough time breaking through that ice.
Yeah.
They become frozen in time, as it were, and they can't get past it. And it takes a lot of chipping away.
And it's so hard layers. To see them, because you just want to do what you can. But honestly, the best thing to do is just to be there, to mm-hmm. be present for them. Mm-hmm. Accessible. That's hard. Yeah, definitely.
Well, this has been a great show, Morgan.
I agree.
And I've been having a lot of fun. I think the people listening and watching will hopefully take some of what we said. I know we went off in a lot of different directions,
but
it's coming back to the same, the burnout, right? And I think we are sharing some similar thoughts, and we've shared our own life experiences with people to, give them insight of, here's some ways maybe to deal with it. I'm not saying that you're going to avoid it. I don't think that's what we're trying to say. Right. You're not going to avoid it, but here's how to deal with it. When you encounter these moments in your life, step back, take care of yourself.
Take
first
care
and foremost.
Of yourself is what I was going to say. Cause somebody taught me that a long time ago. And I've never forgotten it. If you can't pour from an empty cup,
there it is. Yeah.
If people, you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your family or anyone. So.
Yeah. Anyone that you, that may look up to you, or that may have, you in admiration, or that you just want to be there for, you can't be that person for them if you're, mm-hmm. like you say, running on empty. So definitely, take care of yourself. And I didn't know, was there a part two of the
Yes, there's
the card
an oracle
reading?
Card. Yeah. So we had our 5-card tarot pull. So I'll just give a brief explanation of what oracle decks are. Oracle decks are much more casual than tarot. I mean, you could have angel, moon. We're doing a moon oracle deck today. Like the ancient gods, you could do Egyptian or Norse or whatever, Native American. And they're much more casual in the sense that they usually just give advice, but they're still pretty crazy accurate at reading situations, I've found. So we have the 5-card spread. We're going to conclude with what should we do with the insights that we've gotten from the tarot deck? Right. We got, full moon in Leo. Don't let pride get in your way. Okay. That's good. I think that's good.
That can definitely be the thing that stops us from advancing, is our own pride. Yeah. We mentioned that just a little while ago, right? Like those unsavory parts, the things that we don't like to hear about ourselves. It's inherent in us to be super defensive or to be like, whoa.
Absolutely.
You know, justify it, you know?
Selling yourself short and then kind of being too confident. I'm trying to find this place in the guidebook, but and then I'll take a photo so that we can show.
Yeah.
Where is it? What the heck? Well, this is a great moment of the podcast, right?
Yeah, it's real life, guys. Like I'm not really editing this out right now.
Normally when you see people do collective readings on YouTube, they have the time to like edit and cut and everything and like write notes down.
Yeah. This is happening in real life.
This is real time. I'll probably write down notes for our reading too, so that I'll post them in the comments or something like that for you guys. So have you been letting your pride become an obstacle? Leo energy is all about the heart because it's the king of the jungle. So when Leo's energy is combined with the full moon, though, it kind of goes over the top. Let's see. It's a time to find a balance between your own needs and the needs of the people around you. Hey, that's like the theme of the podcast, kind of.
Yes. Yes.
This will help all of your relationships. Additional meanings here. Self-esteem is good. Vanity is not. Everyone is equally important. Definitely if you were feeling like doing something creative this weekend, this card says go for it. And maybe for someone, a friendship might be ending. Yeah. There's multiple meanings for this card. So maybe, with that spirit card, making a decision or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like the tower is there again.
Yeah, the tower's there. Yeah. There's a lot of, that's true. Like relationships are constantly changing and people are coming and going. So someone could be going through that at the end of this week.
Wow.
I love this deck. Yeah. This Oracle deck is awesome.
A lot to meditate on, a lot to chew on, you know, for everyone listening. Well, I mean, for me, for sure. So appreciate you being, first of all, you know, thinking of it and coming up with the idea, and then
more than happy to do it,
living it out. Yeah, it's great. So this is, you know, this is a great sort of testimony to a druid's luck, right? Because this is what part of, at least, what you do.
Yep.
And what you're offering, you know. So you guys saw it here, saw it, listened to it, experienced it here on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast first. For anybody maybe that's done it with you before, they already knew it. But for those that are new to this experience, now you know kind of what you're getting into. And, you know, you're going to find all of the links for A Druid's Luck and everything Morgan's affiliated with in the comments, or sorry, in the description in the show notes of the podcast. Yes, so do be sure to check it out.
And with the readings too, when you guys contact me, I am totally open to ideas. We can definitely customize something to work with. Like, seriously, every reading is customizable. So
that's great. I feel like having that, you know, kind of a not out of the box experience, you know what I mean? Because I think sometimes people are just
so rigid about it.
Yeah. You know, like, well, it's, you know, 20 minutes and this is what you're going to get, or
one
whatever.
One card, three card, whatever, like Celtic cross. I mean, no, we can like go way beyond that. So.
Yeah, so you're definitely getting a heartfelt experience, I feel, you know, which means a lot to people. And I think that from what we were able to experience today amongst the conversation, a very genuine experience, you know, heartfelt and genuine.
Great dialogue. Yeah. Very good.
So, that about wraps it up for today's episode. And don't forget, everyone that's, you know, listening, watching, please support A Druid's Luck in all the ways that you can by following the links that are in the description and show notes. And as always, check out the Linktree link for Midgard Musings for all the ways that you can support this podcast and everything that I do here. There's all the socials down there. There's the Patreon page, just all of it down there. So be sure to check that out and do whatever you see fit in ways of support. So yeah, anything else that you'd like to say to the people, Morgan, before we wrap this up?
Dreams do come true, guys. I wanted to be on this podcast. It happened. So follow your dreams.
That's a great sign off. And yeah. I always invite people to as well. You know, you never know if you're thinking about writing in, if you're thinking about sharing your ideas,
it can. Yeah.
There you go. This is a classic example of, you know, somebody I never knew really before who's been following this stuff for years. And now here they are on the podcast, you know, talking about everything that they do and hopefully sharing some really, you know, useful, important knowledge and mm-hmm. opinions for you. So it is absolutely doable and we encourage it. So write in, call in, share your thoughts, be interactive. It's what makes this so much fun for all of us.
It was fun. Yeah.
Well, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much for joining me, for being my guest today, and for all of the listeners and the watchers across Midgard and beyond, if there's anybody out there. May the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you. See you in the next one.